Life Audio.
Christian Parent Crazy World with Catherine Seegers is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. I am your host, Catherine Seegers, and in today's episode, we will tackle this super practical question. What are the three most important life lessons every parent must teach their kids? Life has some powerful lessons to teach all of us. That is because God has designed life to work that way. So clever. And it is really important that we view these lessons through the eyes of biblical truth. That is the only way to really learn how to thrive in the midst of these tough lessons. Now, today, we are going to do something really fun. I'm going to dive into my personal history a bit. I'm going to tell you about my acting days, how I became an actor, actually. It's kind of a hilarious story, slightly inappropriate given the context, but true. And I'm going to share with you the three most powerful life lessons I've learned and how I came to identify them through one of my great passions in life, which is performing comedy improv. Super fun. That's the plan for this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World. So let's get started.
But look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever app you're listening on, mamas and papas. That's going to really help us out. So we are close to 90 episodes with Christian Parent Crazy World, and I don't expect that everyone has listened to every single episode if your name doesn't happen to be Brian Seegers, who is my amazing husband. But for the record, I think it's a really great idea to go back and listen to all of those episodes. Please do. But, you know, I was thinking that it's pretty important to reintroduce who I am from time to time to those listeners who have come along somewhere in this 3-year journey. So this is going to be a bit of a get to know me episode. And along the way, I'm going to share with you the three most important life lessons that we need to teach our kids. And I'm going to do that by sharing with you one of my great passions in life, comedy improv. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, my background was in theater. I got a bachelor's degree in communications, and then I went on to get a master's degree in communications with an emphasis in performing arts. And after graduating, I spent a dozen years on the stage doing everything from musicals to Shakespeare and finally comedy improv. And then I went into a very deep and intense season of mothering for about 12 years, where that's like almost all I did, aside from leading some women's Bible studies and some homeschooling, which certainly falls under that motherhood umbrella. And then God opened doors for me to study apologetics and start writing and then doing podcasting, which is what I'm doing now. And so a year ago, though, I started dipping my toe back into the theatrical world, albeit in a homeschool setting, and it has been so fun to perform again. I've been teaching comedy improv to high schoolers, and it has been such a blast. And I was reminded of these incredible life lessons that I learned when I was doing what I consider to be like the hardest thing to do on a stage. That is to entertain people 4 hours without a script. Now, for those of you who don't know what comedy improv is or may not be terribly familiar with it, it is the exact opposite of Shakespeare, which was my other favorite thing to do in the performance world. Shakespeare is as scripted as you can get. If you get off script there is like no getting back on because nobody is fluent these days in Elizabethan English. I loved The Bard. I could have spent my whole life doing Shakespeare and never gotten tired of it. But my other love was comedy improv. It still is. Getting on a stage without a script and entertaining people for a couple of hours with some other hilarious actors is such a thrill, such a high. To this day, I maintain that comedy improv is the extreme sport of the performance world. Only the bravest performers would ever do such a crazy thing. As a matter of fact, I had been acting for nearly a decade before I ever tried comedy improv. I had, done a lot of comedic work in theater, and that's where I seemed to thrive, but I had never gotten on a stage without a script because that was just, crazy. But I had some friends who were starting a comedy improv troupe, and they kept bugging me and begging me to come perform with them. And I resisted for a very long time because I was not theatrically suicidal like all of these crazy people who get on a stage without a script. But finally, I agreed to go to a rehearsal just to appease them. And I think it was about 5 minutes into this rehearsal, and I was hooked. Like, completely hooked. But truth be told, I started out my career as an actor by improvising. Actually, I just have to tell you the story because it's pretty hilarious and telling. I transferred to Lee College, which is now Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, as a sophomore, and they put me on a freshman hall. And as God would have it, this was so God ordained, I was randomly assigned to room with Beth Krabbenstutter. She was from good German stock. And like within 5 minutes of meeting Beth, we both realized that we were diehard Monty Python fans. And we started quoting all of our favorite lines. And I came up with this preposterous idea. What if we pretend to be British exchange students with our brilliant Monty Python accents? And we can tell everyone we're from London because that was pretty much the only city that we knew about in the UK. Mind you, this was before Google or Facebook. The internet wasn't a thing yet because, of course, Al Gore hadn't invented it yet. So nobody could check up on us. And oh, in case you didn't know, this is the pièce de résistance, Lee is a Christian college, like Church of God affiliated, a place where Christ is king. That was their slogan. But, this was a practical joke, so it was okay, right? We weren't like really lying to everyone, or were we? I thought for sure that this practical joke would last like maybe 24 to 48 hours. I kid you not. 2 full weeks later, we were still going strong, lying to everyone on my Christian campus, telling them we were British exchange students. Like, we were so deep into this thing, I did not know how to get out. It was really starting to weigh on my conscience. I mean, we were lying to everyone, my RA, our Bible professors, and somehow they were buying it. So, but then one day we're sitting around this outdoor common area and everyone was peppering us, the exchange students, with all these questions about what was happening in the UK. And someone says, so what is the Holy Spirit doing in England right now? And I thought, oh dear me, I'm pretty sure that lying about the Holy Spirit is the kind of thing that causes the ground to open up and swallow you whole. So at this point, I'm like, okay, finally we came clean. And I was like, you guys, we're from Georgia. Y'all, we don't really speak the King's English. And everyone was like, what? You're crazy. I can't believe you. What? You've been lying to us. And we were like, they were all kind of miffed at first. But then one guy pipes up. I'll never forget this. It was like one of those old Technicolor movies where somebody says, hey, we got a barn out back. Let's do a play. This one guy pipes up and he says, hey, you guys are really good. You should try out for the play. And I was like, why have I never thought of this before? Like, seriously, clearly, I am an actor. How did I not know that? So both me and my best friend, Beth, tried out for the play and we got in, and the rest is pretty much history. I went on to perform all kinds of roles in college and then graduate school and then regionally in Virginia after that. And it became the greatest passion of my life for well over a decade. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is how I became a performer. It all started with improvisation. Improvisation is the act of spontaneous creativity. And honestly, we're all improvising every day of our lives because we don't walk around with rehearsed scripts about what we're going to say. But I officially started doing comedy improv about like 25 years ago. And I was struck so hard by some of the life lessons I learned by doing this form of entertainment. There are lessons that you and your kids absolutely need to know. So what are they?
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Well, the first lesson is lesson number one. You can't choose what happens to you in life, but you can choose how you respond. Bond. Okay, so when you are a novice improviser and you enter a scene, you often have all of these brilliant ideas about what you are going to do when you walk out on that stage. I'm going to be the president of the United States, or an astronaut, or the first female to play in Major League Baseball. The sky's the limit in improv. You can be anyone or anything. You can be a planet or one of the carved faces on Mount Rushmore, or a toothbrush. You know, I've been a toothbrush in a scene before. I had a riveting scene with a soap dish. It was brilliant. So you have this grand idea when you walk out onto the stage in a scene of who you're going to be. But there's a big problem with your idea, because you aren't out there alone and you aren't in control. Your fellow actor can't read your mind. So he goes out there and you're thinking you're the president of the United States. And he says, come here, Spot. Come here, boy. I got a treat for you. And suddenly your grand idea to be the leader of the free world just got flushed down the toilet and you're a dog. What do you do? Huh? Because let's face it, moms and dads and kiddos, that's life, isn't it? There's a kid in town where I live who had a full ride scholarship to play baseball at the University of Tennessee. And one day He's out playing golf with his buddies and is in this freak accident. A tree on the course falls on his golf cart with him in it and crushes his skull. Next thing you know, he's in the ICU fighting for his life. Brain swell, serious complications, may not make it. But praise God, he did make it. But you know what? Baseball isn't in the cards for him right now. Yeah, life is perfect, all planned out. And then you get hit with a curveball. I talked to a mom the other day whose second child has Williams syndrome, which is very similar to Down syndrome. They didn't plan for that. Of course, they love this child more than life itself. But she mentioned in our conversation that she and her husband are going to have to provide for their daughter's care for the rest of their lives. I didn't see that one coming. In big ways and in small ways, life will throw us curveballs. The thing we wanted more than anything in life, the road we planned to take, didn't materialize. We can't choose what happens to us in life, but we can choose our response. And what should that response be? Well, that brings us to life lesson number two. We need to accept what happens and build. Now, let me explain. The very first axiom or foundational principle of improvisational acting is that you agree with whatever anybody gives you in a scene and you build on it. Let's go back to that example I gave in the first lesson. I may go into a scene thinking that I am an Olympic ice skater or a Nobel Peace Prize winner or the President of the United States. But if the other actor comes on stage and says, "Come here, Spot. Come here, boy. Got a treat for you." Then guess what? I'm a dog. Because according to the primary building block of improv, I have to accept what I'm given and then I have to build on it. How should I build? Well, this is where it gets really cool, really fun. I may be a dog, but who says I can't be a dog who just won an Olympic gold medal? Or who says I can't be a dog who solved the Middle East crisis? Or maybe I'm a dog who is running to become the President of the United States, which might not be a bad idea these days. I can be a dog who walks on my hind legs and talks and becomes the leader of the free world. It's improv. Anything goes, right? And you know what? The best stories in life, the ones we love the most, are the crazy ones, aren't they? The unlikely ones. Look in the Bible. God loves these stories. An old guy builds an ark and saves humanity. An old lady has a baby who becomes a powerful nation. A young boy slays a giant. A baby born in a stable saves the world. So how does this look in real life? Well, okay, let me make this clear. It does not mean that you have to agree with a bad prognosis from a doctor. You don't have to accept that outcome. But you also shouldn't live in denial either. Bad stuff happens in life. Unexpected things happen in life. Things we didn't plan for or want or anticipate. But we do have to accept it. And if at all possible, look at it as a gift. Accept it and build from there. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." That's an awesome scripture passage. So often, those things in life that, for lack of a better word, suck, turn out so much better than you thought they would. For example, last year, my husband's employer restructured the business and eliminated his position. This was after working crazy long hours for like 18 months, every single day went in trying to keep that ship afloat, working 14, 15, 16 hour days. And in response to all the blood, sweat, and tears he poured into that place, he got a pink slip. Yeah. Now, we could have gotten angry and bitter about it, but we chose not to. We chose to accept this as God's plan for something better in our lives, because really, honestly, that position had become untenable. It was a miserable situation. So we accepted the situation, and then we asked God, what next? And we began to look, we began to build, and a new position that honestly at first didn't look very promising appeared. And so we pursued it, and it has become the most wonderful position for my husband to work. He applied for the job, he got it, and seriously, the quality of life, the appreciation, the winning day after day at work, the compensation for what he does in every single way, it's better than what we had. And we never would have looked for it if we hadn't gotten that pink slip. Sometimes life gives us a sucker punch to the gut. That pink slip certainly was. But with God, we know that all things work together for the good of them who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. So when we got that pink slip, we knew that God had a better plan. So we said yes to the pink slip. And then we said, okay, what are you going to do now, God? Because we know you must have something better for us. And you know what? He did. He really did. So we need to teach our kids to accept whatever comes our way and build on it, expecting God to do something amazing, even if we're in the doghouse for a bit. Okay? All right. So life lesson number 3. I love this one. It's often the mistake. This one gives me tears. It's often the mistake that turns into a masterpiece. Yeah. Let me give you a prime example of this from my comedy improv days. Now, when you're doing comedy improv, it's vitally important that you pay attention to what your partner is doing on stage. The first person in a scene is responsible for establishing where you are and what's going on. So there was this one scene where my friend Paul had established this elaborate mechanics garage. He was like up under the hood of this make-believe car, and he was testing out the ignition, and he was polishing the windshield. You knew exactly where he was. He was in a garage, and exactly where this car was, right? But unfortunately, his scene partner, Derek, who also happened to be our director, he wasn't paying attention, and he blanked out or something. I don't know. But when he walked into the scene, he just walked right through the middle of the car that Paul had clearly established in the center of the stage. You could hear the collective gasp of every audience member. What was he thinking? I mean, was he not paying attention? How could he have missed the car that Paul had painstakingly created in the center of the stage? It was a colossal mistake, the kind that completely ruins a scene, and all of your credibility as improvisational actors. Or it could have. But you know what? Paul was a pro. He wasn't rattled. He didn't freak out or panic. He just looked at Derek and he very calmly said, "Dude, you just walked through the middle of my car. How'd you do that?" And the audience roared. The entire rest of the scene became about Paul miming elaborate inanimate objects, planes, trains, skyscrapers, and everything he created. Derek would just walk right through the middle of it. He was a guy who could walk through inanimate objects. Now, you know what? I don't remember many specific scenes that I did in my comedy improv days. That was like over 2 decades ago. So most of those scenes are a very distant blur. But I remember that scene. It was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever seen on stage. And it turned into one of the most hilarious scenes I've ever seen on stage. One of the most successful, because Paul had the presence of mind to take that mistake and turn it into something masterful. That's how life is with God. He takes our mistakes, our screw-ups, our flaws, our epic fails, and he turns them into a masterpiece. And this is a big if we'll let him. You know, my next episode is with Josh and Katie Walters. Talk about an epic fail. Their marriage was falling apart. Katie had an affair with the husband of a couple they were mentoring in church. Josh was on staff at that church. Their marriage was dead due to infidelity. And by the way, that's like the seventh commandment. They busted it wide open. And God has taken that epic fail and turned it into a powerful ministry to save marriages. He turned it into a masterpiece. Be sure to tune in that episode, by the way. They are going to share four steps that will improve any marriage. Okay. Here's one other story, though, I want to share with you. One other epic, I won't call it a fail, but something that happened to me that was just tragic. I had a miscarriage at the age of 44. This was a child I believe the Lord had promised us, a promised fifth child, a daughter. And I miscarried that child on Thanksgiving Day. It looked hopeless. It looked dark. But God used that miscarriage to teach me and my husband how to intercede in prayer for the promise that God had given me of a fifth child. In the natural, it seemed so unlikely, but we believed and we insisted on that promise and prayer. And our family has been blessed with Evangeline Faith, a child that I had weeks shy of 46 without fertility treatments. By the way, my doctors were amazed. And you know what? I've gone on to share those same principles here on this show to help people find redemption from loss in their life and learn how to intercede in prayer for promises. Look what God has done. God has turned that miscarriage into a masterpiece. Moms and dads, that excruciating loss in your life, that big mistake, that epic fail, that horrific accident, in the hands of God can become something triumphant. It can become the greatest victory. It can become a new ministry that leads other people to victory. So yeah, God is in the business of turning mistakes into masterpieces. So let him. Alrighty, let's wrap this thing up. What are those life lessons one more time? Lesson number one, you can't choose what happens to you in life, but you can choose how you will respond. Lesson number two, accept what happens to you and build on it. And lesson number three, allow God to turn that mistake into a masterpiece, because that's what he's best at. Now, like I said, don't miss next week. That is going to be my special Valentine's Day episode with Josh and Katie Walters, authors of the brand new book, New Marriage, Same Couple. If you've got a good marriage, this is going to give you some incredible ideas on how you can make it better. But if you have a marriage on the rocks or you know someone who does, wow. Will this episode ever encourage you and give you hope? You don't want to miss it. Thank you for joining me today. Look, I know there are a lot of things you could be listening to right now, and I really appreciate that you took this time to spend with me. I hope you will join me for my next podcast when we take aim at some aspect of our culture that threatens to derail our parenting and steal our kids' faith. If you enjoyed this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World, would you consider telling a friend and sharing it on social media and giving it a good review over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and following me on Facebook and Instagram? Oh, and maybe you could say that Christian Parent Crazy World is the best podcast you've ever heard in your entire life. Just a thought. And be sure to check out my website, which is KatherineSegers.com. That's Catherine with a C. I have lots of articles and resources there that will help you on your parenting journey. And if you subscribe, I will be sure to send you some really cool free stuff and notify you of future podcasts, articles, and blogs. I want to end this and every episode with a word of encouragement. God gave you your kids, your specific kids, for a reason. That's because you hold the key to unlocking who God created them to be. We'll see you next time.
Christian Parent Crazy World is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
There's nothing in this world that he cannot do if we truly allow his love.
We can do nothing without him. Anything that we do apart from him is not something that's permanent.
All we need is grace. That's everybody. We are all broken people on our way to a place that we believe is waiting on us in heaven.
You can find more of Bridges with Monica Schmelter at lifeaudio.com.
In Christ, we are all one family.
Amen.